Can this weekend mean something different to you and me? Can it mean something that changes how we live, how we think, how we treat other people? You know, we're blessed to live in a wonderful nation. And as much as I may make snide comments or have criticisms, I would rather live in the U.S. than anywhere else on earth. I mean, I watch how people in Australia are living now, and I go, well, I'll take the U.S. I see in England how people are living all over Europe. I see how people are living in Russia and China, and I go, you know, the United States is the best of the worst, and I'm so thankful to be here. You know, that is something that is a blessing for you and me with where we live. But this weekend can have something more memorable to you and me. How we use this weekend to renew our thinking and renew our ability to be thankful. We can use this weekend to renew our thinking and renew our ability to be thankful. Because people go through hard times, people go through difficult times, we have ups and downs, but at the end of everything, God offers you and me a chance to rev back up, to renew our thinking, renew our attitudes, renew our experience in life. Renewing our ability to be thankful is a mental exercise. You know, there's a business coach that I enjoy listening to. His name's Dan Sullivan. And one of his famous quotes is, "Your future has to be larger than your past." You know, he deals with basically small business owners. And he knows if he's talking to a small entrepreneur who all the discussion is about how it used to be, that person was going to be in trouble. But if he can get them talking about where they're headed or what's in the future, their mindset changes. That's how you and I can be renewed. You know, it works in business. Anybody that's been in business realizes if there's no excitement about the future, things get stale, things start to have problems. You know, this quote spiritually can be a game changer. It can help us escape from past troubles and put our focus on something better in the future. And this works in our spiritual lives. No matter where we are, what we've dealt with, what's going on anywhere around us, we can have this renewed thinking, this renewed ability to be thankful. Go to Matthew chapter 6, please. We'll look at verses 28 to 33. So Dan Sullivan says, your future has to be larger than your past. And he's an incredibly successful business coach. But he didn't come up with this concept of your future being better, bigger than your past. Go to Matthew chapter 6. We'll start in verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? So what we see here is Christ's words, and he's talking about things we worry about, things that cause us anxiety, things that may keep us up at night, things that take our mind off the target. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Basically, God's saying, if we're lined up with him, he'll take care of the details. He'll watch out for us. He will allow us to have opportunity. He will give us what we need for today. Verse 30, now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So these are big concepts that Christ is talking about. How our mind works, how our faith interacts with our minds, how we change our outlook on life based on God working in our lives. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Now, I don't believe that means you and I just stay in bed all day and go, God will take care of it. But when times are tough, that's what this is talking about, when we're worrying about things, when things are causing us to question our faith. That's when we need to be renewing and getting closer to God again. Verse 32, "For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, Dan Sullivan says your future has to be larger than your past. Christ says, seek first the kingdom in the future, and all this other stuff will work itself out. That's the ultimate place where all knowledge comes from, God. And anybody that has a good thought can almost always be traced back to what God says. So God wants us on a Thanksgiving weekend, on every weekend, to look at our lives and say, am I worried? Am I thinking about physical things? Am I having trouble with my faith? And if I am, it's time to renew our thinking. It's time to say, I'm going to wake up in the morning and spend 30 minutes reading Matthew 6:33 and asking myself, do I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? You know, those are two huge things. And the Bible clearly defines what his righteousness is, and that's the word of God. So I can spend half an hour thinking, how was my life this week? How is my thinking today? Did I wake up this morning feeling good and excited about the Sabbath? Or did I wake up this morning thinking about something that happened last week that caused me a little grief? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's how we renew our spiritual perspective. And when our spiritual perspective is good, our physical perspective works itself out. When the kingdom of God is number one in our minds, our spiritual future is set. When our spiritual future is set, everything else starts to work out. You know, the Bible, what we have on our laps, is a documentation of God's mind and eternal spiritual truths. There's no other place to get what God thinks other than the Bible. And we have it every day to be able to spend time with and think about and ask ourselves, how do I view this? You know, you go through the who, what, when, where, why, and how questions. You know, seek first the kingdom of God. Who was that written to? Well, that was written to me. What does it mean? Oh, I need to make sure that throughout the day, I'm redirecting my thinking. And all you have to do is go through these scriptures and just think about, how am I changing my life to make these scriptures applicable to me? Am I focused on the kingdom of God, or am I worried about all the physical things or buying things to make me feel good or all of those other aspects of life? Go to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, this is Paul speaking, I do not count myself to have apprehended but one thing. Now, here's a guy who wrote multiple books of the Bible, has an incredible reputation, did incredible things in his life, and he says, look, there's one thing that helps me get through life. I've thought about this. I finally understand this. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. This is the same as Matthew 6:33. You know, the things which are ahead are the kingdom of God. The things that are in our past are all the bad and good and questionable decisions we make. Paul said, I work every day to not spend too much time thinking about the past, but instead think about the future. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. I press towards the goal and the upward call. God expects us to focus on the future. During a Thanksgiving weekend where we spend time thinking about what we're thankful for, we can also spend time thinking about what does God want me to be thinking about, because ultimately that's true Thanksgiving. You know, I'm thankful for the country I live in, but I'll leave it tomorrow if God says you can come into the kingdom tomorrow. Everything I'm thankful for in this world is going to go away, but what we're focused on will be there forever. It'll be true permanence. You know, Micah talked about things that wear out, that turn to dust. And, you know, I'm thinking, what's he talking about? And then I'm thinking, well, not everything turns to dust, does it? But then he goes about explaining how one day God's going to just melt everything. And then a better future's coming. And I thought, well, Micah was right on that point. He was right on many points, but at least on that one. You know, last Sunday, Michelle took me to Arizona as a gift, and I signed up for a triathlon. And Sunday morning, well, actually, I'll start the story. 2 years ago Sunday morning, we went to this same triathlon, and I got in the water. And the water was 61 degrees, and I couldn't get a breath, and I swam for about half an hour, and then I finally just stopped. So I was not very happy 2 years ago. So I said, I'm going to do it again in 20. 20, it gets canceled, so I'm going to do it again in 21. So we go out there. I bought a new wetsuit because obviously it wasn't me, it was the wetsuit. Couldn't have been me. So I got in the water Sunday morning. It was about 7:30. And I started swimming. And you swim down and over and back up, then back over, then back down. And it's a 2.4 miles. So 2 hours and 4 minutes after I started, I finished. Now, for those of you who follow long-distance triathlon, that is not the goal, 2 hours and 4 minutes. It's about an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 40 minutes. So I was behind schedule, but I thought, I'll make it up on the bike. So I got on the bike, and the bike was 3 loops. And I did the first loop, and I felt okay. Did the second loop, and about halfway through it, I started feeling bad. And I get around the second loop, getting ready to go on the third loop, and there are pylons at the turnaround. And I knew what the pylons were for, because at certain points, they stop you if you're running behind time because they only have so many hours for the race. So I spent 8 hours last Sunday doing something that resulted in failure. And I can tell you it doesn't feel good. You know, Michelle's there laughing at me. It hurts. The one good thing was we went and had a nice dinner. So that was nice. But all of this started making me think, that's in the past now. You know, 2019 bothered me for a long time. But if I'm looking at what the Bible says, put something bigger in the future. So that way you're not so focused on the past. So Alan and I signed up for Ironman Ohio in 2022. So from a physical perspective, I now have something I'm looking forward to. And I'm not thinking as much about what's in the past. That's what we can do this weekend. Renewal means an instant of resuming an activity or state after an interruption. You know, if we look back on our past and we see things that cause us to stop or to take a break because they were so bad or so traumatic or so hard, God says to you and me, think about the kingdom of God. That gets your mind back in the right place. And it doesn't fix the problems of our past, but it at least allows us to put our energy somewhere else. Each of us is different. Each of us is interrupted in different ways. Each of us has to be renewed in different ways. Is it daily Bible study, daily prayer, meditation, fasting? You know, in your life and in my life, I have to look at it and say, is that true in my life? And the Sabbath is a beautiful time to do it, and a long Thanksgiving weekend is a beautiful time to do it, because we have the time to sit back and just think. The alarm doesn't go off in the morning. We're not rushing out to go somewhere. Now, if you worked yesterday, you did, but probably you were off on Thursday. You're off today. There's just a little more time to sit and think. You know, it could be as small as daily flossing or as large as daily prayer. All of these things are things that can be renewed in our lives. Go to 2 Peter, please, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 11, 17, and 18. 2 Peter, chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 11. 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what Micah talked about, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? This is a renewal scripture. Before this, it was talking about many of the things that we worry about in life, many of the things we struggle with or have to deal with. But what Peter says here is, let's get a focus on the future. He says, one day it's all going to dissolve and be gone. And knowing that, what manner of person ought I be in holy conduct and godliness? Go down to verse 17, please. You therefore, beloved, since you knew this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. And then one of Peter's most famous scriptures, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Peter says, but grow. How many of you have ever seen a plant grow backwards? You know, plants don't grow backwards. They grow forwards. You know, Mr. Orleman plants a bunch of trees outside of church here. In a year, they're going to be a little bigger. In a year, they're going to be a little bigger. Soon, there will be all kinds of leaves to rake. But there will be shade and beauty. That's what happens. God says, or Peter says here, inspired by God, grow. And that's a forward-looking statement. It's a statement that says, evaluate where you are now and grow from there. And he specifically says what to grow in. The grace, unmerited pardon, somebody doing for something for us that we don't deserve. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible is loaded with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You read through the Sermon on the Mount, all the words in red, all throughout the Bible, and that is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Peter says that's what you and I should grow in. And that dictates we have to get in the Word of God. We have to study the Word of God. We have to listen to the Word of God. We have to look at Scriptures and just start saying, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me tomorrow morning? What does that mean for me as I go back to work Monday morning? How does that impact my life? You know, it's high time to get back or to remain close to God. Because I look out on this room And I see a group of people that are close to God. And I know that because you all got up this morning and chose to come to church. You had in your minds, I want to do something good today. I want to obey God today. I want to fellowship today. I want to learn something today. I want to sing as a group. You know, one of the things that's so great about church is we can come here and inside these walls, I was actually thinking earlier inside these four walls, but in a room, in a building that has six or eight sides, it's not that. But inside these walls, we get to take a break from the world. We get to take a break from anything going on outside of here and listen to people like Micah talk about the Bible. Max gets up and leads songs that are full of meaning. We get to fellowship. We get to encourage each other. We get to have the type of conversations that give us that renewal heading into another week where we're in the world. Go to 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 1, we'll look at verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul, I mean this, I love some of these books, because what Paul was doing is he was writing a letter to a guy named Timothy, which he viewed as his stepson. That's how close they were. So what he's writing, he's not writing a letter to the people of Libya or to the people of France. He's writing this letter to an individual, and all of his care and concern for that individual is what he's writing about. He says down in verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The Greek word for stir means to kindle afresh or to keep in full flame. We all know what this is talking about. God's Spirit in us. The laying on of hands at baptism. The start of a new life. Being born again. That's what this is talking about. And he says to Timothy, you know, Timothy didn't, not everything was rosy in Timothy's life. He dealt with the same things you and I deal with. And Paul says, stir it up. Get excited about it again. For God, verse 7, has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, this isn't the fear Micah was talking about, the fear of God. This is the fear where we're anxious about things, we're afraid of things. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So when I grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's what it is. Focused on His Spirit and what it does in my life with power, love, and a sound mind. Go back to Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51, we'll look at verses 10 and 12. We know the story of Psalm 51. It's, you know, David committed some atrocities. Murder, adultery. I mean, I can't imagine what was going through his mind as he laid in bed at night. You know, I'll do something stupid and it'll just drive me crazy. But up to this point, I've not murdered anybody. And I don't plan to, but I'm just saying up to this point. Down to verse 10, Psalm 51, verse 10. This is the important stuff in life. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David wasn't asking for physical things. Because he knew he had to focus on the spiritual, then all this other stuff will take care of itself. Verse 12, Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. David had fallen away and he needed renewal. He had fallen away and he realized he was not focused on the right thing. You know, God wants you and me to win. In this world, God would have helped David not do what he did had David been connected to God. God wants you and me to have incredible lives, full of peace and hope and joy. He wants it for you and me more than we want it for ourselves. You know, I think sometimes about God and Christ for all eternity. And then at some point they decide, let's create some little things out of something that doesn't exist. Let them go through a short period of time, you know, 70, 80, 100 years, tiny time in God's eyes. And if they stay committed to us, let's give them eternal life. I mean, it blows my thinking away when I think about who God is and what he's willing to do for me. You know, on days when my mind doesn't go right, if I can get those thoughts in my head, my blood pressure goes down, I feel better, I sleep better, because those are the things that God wants us thinking about. Psalms 85, we'll look at verse 6. Psalms chapter 85, verse 6, just over a few pages. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? When we're revived, we're rejoicing in God. We're not rejoicing in ourselves, because that's short term. That doesn't last. When I rejoice in God, as it says there, rejoice in you with a capital Y, that's when things start to change in our lives. When we realize without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're going to just go away. Go back to Isaiah 44, please. Or forward to Isaiah 44. We'll look at verses 3 through 5. God promises to send renewal when we seek him. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty. You know, that has a different meaning to me today. Because last Sunday, in really dry heat, you don't sweat much. And I was at an aid station at about mile 50 of the bike, and I poured a water bottle over my head, and it felt so good. Now, when you start tasting all the salt from all the sweat that's running down your face and into your mouth, that's not as nice, but the water felt so good. I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. For they will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. This is the beautiful part of this section, I believe. Verse 5. One will say, I am the Lord's. Not, I'm an American, or I'm a printer, or I'm a business person, or I'm a father, or a mother, or a child. One will say, I am the Lord's. That's saying God owns me. God controls me. Whatever he wants, I want to do. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob, and another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. This is what you and I have to look forward to when we renew ourselves. If I can sit and think to myself, God owns me. He controls everything around me. He knows what's happening and what's not happening. And he wants me to win in life. Now, win in life to me means stay close to God, stay close to God's church, get into the Bible, do all of those things. That's winning in life. But God says, whatever's going on around you, if we belong to Him, He'll take care of us. Go to Hebrews, please, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll look at verse 6 and then 8 through 10. Hebrews 11, verse 6. You know, we don't control the universe around us, but God can. Now, I don't believe God's micromanaging things, but I do believe that God's watching each and every one of us and making sure we have a way of escape or a way of dealing with things or a solution to a problem. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. People who renew their minds, renew their spirits, renew their relationship with God. Down to verse 8. By faith, Abraham. Now, we've all read about Abraham. In many ways, Abraham had a pretty good life. He was wealthy, he had land, he had plenty of food. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And that's a little sentence, but it's a big deal. I mean, if somebody said to you, I am God and I'm calling you to go to North Korea to inherit what I've prepared for you. And you go, well, I've never lived in North Korea. I don't know what it's like. I don't know the people. I don't have any family there. That's stepping out on faith to obey this. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. He didn't view himself as a member of the country. You know, I do believe I'm a citizen of the United States, but I'll tell you, in my mind, I would walk away from that today as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I think it's valuable. I love it. I'm thankful I was born here. But compared to what God has in store, what He's planning, what He's providing, it's nothing. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham's focus was on the kingdom of God. So when his focus was on the kingdom of God and God asked him to do things, he did them. His focus was on something better, on something bigger. God is looking for people who win because of Him. You know, 2 Corinthians 7:14 is one of those beautiful scriptures. It's, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal their sins. That's what God has for you and me. He says if we reach out to Him and we focus on something better in the future, He'll start to work out the problems we have now. He'll start to heal those past things that nag at us. He'll start to tweak how we think. Go to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. You know, when I take time to think about what's the kingdom of God going to be like, and I think to myself, it'll be a time of ultimate joy, ultimate peace, no conflict, eternal life with everybody that I love, and we can work under God to serve others. I mean, it's a beautiful future. And when I think of that, that should impact what I do today. Because I can also spend my day thinking about everything that's wrong and being upset about it, or I can think about everything that's coming and be encouraged by it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven. You know, Paul knew this. Paul was a Jew, proud of it, proud of his upbringing, proud of his training. You know, he would be what we would call a patriotic American. He was a patriotic Jew. But when it all came down to it, he was willing to walk away from that for this future. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That's our future. That's the kingdom of God. That's how our future is bigger than our past. Jesus Christ will subdue all things, and he'll give us a body with no aches, no pains, no problems, no hearing issues or vision issues or ability to run or walk. It doesn't matter. He's going to give us something better. What God has done or has planned for us is almost, to me, an overwhelming thought. You know, when we imagine the future living forever, that is incredible. You know, if I spend time thinking on this one thought, what is the kingdom of God going to be like? If I spend time thinking about that, the result is a changed mind for me. Because when I deal with someone who wants to come at me and argue and fight, and my mind for the last 30 minutes has been on the kingdom of God, I'm going to give them more slack. I'm going to give them more patience. I'm going to give them more understanding. Go to Colossians, please, just over one book. Colossians 3, verses 2 to 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We died in baptism. You know, Paul, again, think about our bigger future. Realize the fact that I got rid of my past through baptism. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That's our future, appearing with Jesus Christ in glory. You know, when Jesus Christ returns, that's when real life starts. You know, we think this is real life because we can feel it, touch it, see it. This is just dress rehearsal. This is just what we're doing before real life starts. Real life is what Paul's talking about. Everything right now is training for that better future. You know, when I come to church before and after services, am I training for the kingdom of God? In how I talk to people, how I treat people, how much I'm willing to serve, who I'm willing to help. That's what we're here for. This is dress rehearsal. It's practice. Go to Philippians chapter 4, please. We'll go back a chapter or a book. Philippians chapter 4, we'll look at verses 11 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, whatever state I am, to be content. Paul was able to say this, And Paul was falsely imprisoned. Now, if a sheriff from the county came in and handcuffed me and took me away to county jail for tax fraud, and I knew I had not committed tax fraud, what would be going through my mind as I was in the back of the police car heading for jail? This isn't fair. I have my rights. You know, I know what I would be thinking. What would I be thinking on day 3 in county lockup? Paul dealt with that. And Paul said, whatever state I'm in, he is content. Verse 12, I know how to be abased. Yeah, county lockup, when he went to prison, was abasing. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul was mistreated by the authorities. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He went through shipwrecks. I mean, how many of us would allow our minds for a little bit of time if we were shipwrecked, imprisoned, and beaten to question, is God really there for me? Now, it won't be for long, I realize that. But for a little while, would it be easy to think that? But Paul said, I've gone through it. Wherever I am, whatever's happening, I'm going to be content because he knows who's in charge. He knows who's managing the big picture. Verse 13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Paul's focus was on the future. Paul's focus wasn't on the past or the present, it was on the future. And he says, when I focus on the future and I'm in connection with the Father and the Son, I have the strength and the power to deal with anything. Not with most things, but with anything. When we're going through life, we have to be always reminding ourselves of these scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when something is starting to overwhelm me, am I flipping that back in my head? Am I doing all things through Christ who strengthens me? Am I asking God to put these thoughts in my head so that way I stay on track? When we think back over the Thanksgiving weekend, how will we remember this weekend? Is my memory only about how much food I ate or how much fun I had? You know, Michelle's had Thanksgiving dinner twice or three times this week because of leftovers. You know, it's fun. It's enjoyable. But the other side of it is my memory of this weekend about who God is and what God is doing in my life. Am I thinking only about the physical fun, which was fun, is fun? I don't take anything away from it. But am I also balancing that out with who and what is God and what is his plan for me? God has given us so much to be thankful for in our lives. Just in this room here are people to be thankful for. That we can have a warm place on a 37 degree day to come for church. That if we're not here, we're sick and we're at home, we can still log in video-wise. God has given us so much to be thankful for. Let's spend what time is left in this weekend being thankful to God for all that he's done for us and to be focused on our Thanksgiving spiritual renewal.